Good morning. I wonder how your Christmas was. Maybe for some of you, maybe many of us, it was disrupted. Changes of plans at the last moment. It's difficult, isn't it, when that happens? You have everything planned and arranged, and then you have to change everything. But I remember that Mary and Joseph's first Christmas plans were hugely disrupted too. No home birth, no family around. When Caesar Augustus suddenly called a census at exactly the time that your baby is due. And you have to walk 80 miles, that's like from here to Nottingham, in the late stage of pregnancy. How do you fancy that for disruption? I don't. Funnily enough, though, God had foretold what was going to happen hundreds, if not thousands, of years before, and his plans were not disrupted. When Caesar Augustus called a census at exactly the right time. Isn't that amazing? God's plans came together. No last-minute changes of plan there. Exactly right. It's incredible. Anyway, here we are, 2022. Happy New Year. Let me tell you a little bit about my ancestry, and I'll explain why. My grandfather was a Methodist preacher, a famous one actually, who was the minister at the Westminster Central Hall in London in the 1940s and 50s. And he was also an evangelist who preached the gospel all around the world, calling people to follow Jesus. My father was also a Methodist minister, a preacher, a gentle and wise man who loved God. And he was a missionary in India for 10 years. In fact, that's where I was born. And then he returned to the UK, and he was a Methodist minister for the rest of his working life. And I was brought up within that family and within the Methodist Church, which is another branch of God's Christian family. Although I haven't been a member of the Methodist Church for many a year, there's one thing I miss every year that the Methodists do. It's called the Methodist Covenant Service. It's a special service that they hold on the first Sunday of each year. And this is the first Sunday of 2022. In fact, it was a service founded by John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, back in 1755. And the Methodists have held this service on the first Sunday of every year ever since then. Today, basing this sermon and this service on that service, uses the same readings and some of the same words. And I trust it will be meaningful to you, even if you've had no connection to the Methodist Church. Now, we've already talked about New Year's resolutions, and some of you have wisely avoided them. Maybe some of you have made them. Personally, I don't. But they're the sort of things that we might promise ourselves when we think we should be doing better at something. So it's like saying to myself, come on, Mark, you really need to lose a bit of weight after all that Christmas food, and this is a good time to start. So from now on, I'm going to cut out biscuits and crisps. But we've already said, how long do New Year's resolutions last? In my case, not very long at all. I'm not sure how you get on with them. I'm not very good at keeping them. I start off with good intentions, but soon I'm doing just the same as before. So this morning, I want to remind us all of a resolution that God made a very long time ago. And this comes in our first reading. If we could put that up, please. It's from Jeremiah 31. And it's verses 31 to 33. It'll be on the screen, or you could look it up in your Bible or at home. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them. Declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. If you've got that in front of you, please keep it open. Now, this reading doesn't use the word resolution. Instead, it talks about God's making a covenant. It's another word for the same thing. It's a promise. In my New Year's resolution, I might promise to myself that I'm going to cut out crisps and biscuits. But in this reading, God promised to himself that he was going to make a new covenant with the Israelites. So our first heading is, let's remember God's covenant, his promise, at the start of this year. We see that God decided to make a new covenant, a new promise, because the old covenant wasn't working out very well. Well, in the old covenant, he'd promised that he would be their God and they would keep his laws, the laws he'd given to them through Moses. But the trouble was, they weren't keeping his laws. They broke their side of the covenant, even though he was good to them, like a husband, as it says in verse 32. And they kept on breaking his laws again and again and again. It's like my New Year's resolution. I might promise to lose some weight this time, but actually, I know I've promised that to myself before, and I didn't keep it up. I broke my promise. I'm no good at keeping my resolutions. So what was God's new resolution, his new covenant, going to be? Well, in verse 33 of that passage, it tells us, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God knows that we're no good at keeping our promises. We fail again and again and again. But God fulfilled his promise through Jesus, who brought the new covenant, and Jesus made it possible for us to stay close to God by asking for his forgiveness again and again and again. And after Jesus rose from the dead on the first Easter, he sent his Holy Spirit on everyone who believed in him. And in that way, he fulfilled his promise to put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. So, through Jesus, we can be washed clean, forgiven, like new, his sons and daughters loved and cherished by God our Father, forgiven through Jesus and filled with his Holy Spirit. We, all those of us who are Christians, that is, we stand within this new covenant and we bear Christ's name. We are Christians. So I'm suggesting that at the start of this new year, instead of making some small resolutions, which we'll probably give up in a week or two, that we remind ourselves of God's resolution, his new covenant, which binds us to God. He lives in us, and we live in him. Now we're going to have a second reading, and this comes from the Gospel of John in verse 15. It reminds us of a similar thing, but in different words. John chapter 15, verse 1. Please look it up or on the screen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So our second heading is stay connected to Jesus. Let us remain in him. By ourselves, we cannot do anything good. We must stay connected to Jesus, for we won't accomplish anything of worth in our own strength, even if it looks impressive in the world's eyes. But staying connected to Jesus, he tells us that we will bear much fruit. We will accomplish really worthwhile things, things that have eternal value. And maybe they're things even that the world doesn't even seem to notice, but they're of eternal value. But how do we do this? What does it mean in practice? How is this different from another good intention and any other New Year's resolution, which will probably get forgotten in a little while? Well, let us remind ourselves that those of us who are Christians have given ourselves to worship and to serve God. That is our response to God's new covenant. So we have one more short reading to look up, and it's in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're a Christian, let us again claim this promise of Jesus for ourselves and take the yoke of Christ upon us. That's our third heading. Let's take Jesus' yoke upon us. What does that mean? Well, you probably know a yoke is a shaped wooden bar that is used to connect two oxen together so that they can pull together a plough in a field. I'm sure you all know that. You do it day by day. You yoke your oxen together in your field. Well, maybe not, but you know the image. A good yoke is carefully shaped so to fit each ox just right. So it's comfortable. It's easy. Now, if you think about it, we all yoke ourselves to something. It might be a desire for a particular good exam grade or career advancement or to earn a lot of money or to build our reputation. But these are heavy and burdensome goals. They may seem important to us, but they don't fit us well. They let us down and ultimately they don't bring satisfaction. Those yokes are not easy. They do not fit well. But here Jesus is inviting us to be linked, yoked to him, so that side by side with Jesus, we can do everything he asks us to do in his strength. And he shapes our yoke just right, so it fits us perfectly. And he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In practice, that means that we let Jesus choose all our circumstances, and the work and circumstances he chooses to give us We put everything into God's hand to choose whatever he wants for us, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what will fit us well. He's not a nasty boss who's making us work hard for terrible pay. He's a loving father who gives us a good job that fits us just right. And his pay is fantastic. We become children of God. How cool is that? Now, there are many ways in which God calls us to serve him. Some are easy, but others are very difficult. For example, God tells us, those of us who are married, to love and be faithful to our husband or wife. Well, I find that command easy, because loving and being faithful to Barbara isn't difficult. It's a joy, it's fun, it's great, it's a pleasure. I like doing it. And I'm being obedient to God. That's great. I'm serving the Lord. But if Jesus calls us to love and look after a parent with dementia, that's not easy. It's difficult, however much we love the person. But it is a service for Jesus, who most certainly notices and stands with us in loving that family member. Sometimes God calls us to do things which interest us and suit our natural talents. But there will be other times when he calls us to do things which we don't find interesting or which don't match our natural talents at all. For example, I like playing the bass guitar, and I've sometimes served God by doing that. But when Jesus called Barbara and me to go to Kenya as missionaries back in 2013, that was hard and in many ways did not suit our natural abilities. I have no talent for languages and I don't like roughing it. We had to leave our home and the people we love and do lots of things which we didn't find easier and didn't come naturally to us. Sometimes God calls us to do things which bring recognition, but other times he calls us to do things which bring trouble. If God calls you to stand up at the front of church here, then I expect that you good and kind people will listen and pay attention, and you're very kind. But if Jesus calls you to stand up in front of school or work because of some shady dealings or something that's wrong going on, then that's likely to bring trouble your way. So Jesus leads us through good times and happy times, but most of you will know and testify that he also leads us through tough and very difficult times. And in some areas of service to God, we can please ourselves. But in other areas of service, we cannot please God except by denying ourselves. But, and this is important, in all of these different circumstances in which Christ calls us to serve him, he also promises to give us the power and the strength to do them, so that they're not done alone in our own ability, but in his. So, for example, I found learning Swahili in Kenya much easier than I expected, and we totally enjoyed our time. We were blessed, actually, during that time in Kenya. We're just branches. Jesus is the vine. We are yoked to him, and we do everything together with Jesus. And he knows better than we do what will suit us well. The new covenant was a promise that God made, and he initiated it. It was a promise to himself, and he made it thousands of years ago. It was a promise that he does not forget. He does not go back on his promises. He does not need to renew his covenant with us. He said, "I will be your God," and he still is. He said, "I will put my law in their minds, and write it on their hearts. And he still fills Christians with the Holy Spirit. He has done everything that was necessary for us to be close to him. Yes, God keeps his promises, his new covenant. But if you are like me, we are forgetful. We go back on our promises. We are sinful. And we need to put ourselves back into God's hands as we did when we first became Christians and first called Jesus Lord. Lord is not just a name or a title. It means that we recognize that Jesus is our master, our ruler, our Lord. We give ourselves to doing what he says. So I am calling us to renew our commitment to God at the start of this new year by reminding ourselves of the response we already made when we first became Christians. Reminding ourselves in this way does not make us more Christian or more saved. It just takes us back to put ourselves again into God's hands once again at the start of this new year. So could we put up the words that we're going to say together, and we'll have a look through them. I'm going to say this in a few moments, reminding us that God has called us to take his yoke upon us. And then together we will say the words on the next screen. Have a read through. They're challenging words. We're reminding ourselves that we allow God to choose all our circumstances. It's in slightly formal language, but that's to remind us that this is not something we say idly without thinking about it or without meaning it. It's a bit like a married couple who are reminding themselves or saying again their wedding vows, except that here we are responding to God and what he has done for us through Jesus. We are reminding ourselves that he is our God and we are his people. We are putting ourselves again into his hands at the start of this new year to use in whatever way he wants, because we trust that God is good and loving and his yoke is easy. Even if God sometimes leads us through difficult paths, hard times, he is with us every step. And we know that we are his people and he is our God. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, please just read along with the rest of us and see this step that Christians have taken and are saying again now. But I'm not asking you to say anything that you do not mean. On the other hand, if you've been waiting for an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, then this would be a wonderful time to do that. In which case, please say out loud these words with the rest of us, and then please talk with one of us again after this service. Therefore, let us respond to God's covenant. Let us give ourselves again to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Please stand. Lord God, Holy Father, since you have called us through Christ to share in this gracious covenant, we take upon ourselves with joy the yoke of obedience, and for love of you, engage ourselves to seek and do your perfect will. We are no longer our own, but yours. Together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are our God, and we are your people. Amen.